from the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare, the hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be. To be.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Into the 9 o'clock hour we go. Payne and Pendergast, Sports Radio 610. I didn't hear the Boomer Sports Minute, but somebody did. Sports Radio 610 needs to drop that loser Boomer Esiason. He doesn't have the Texans in his top 10. Such a
loser.
Such a loser.
It's becoming, I think it is becoming a little bit of a clickbaity thing right now, yeah, where guys like Peter Schrager, who is gushing about all the hot young guys.
Texans are this have. Fun young team.
Yeah, oh, dude, that's so creepy.
He had been all offseason long, and now he doesn't have them in their AFC playoff.
Creepy as hell. Payne and Pendergast with you. Yeah,
good. Get away from my team, you creep.
Right. Yeah, we don't control that. Boomer Esiason is not an employee of Sports Radio 610. We don't walk around the hallways and see Boomer Esiason as a fellow co-worker over by the coffee machine.
Hey, if you ask us why we'd have those CBS Sports Minutes, I have yet to have it explained to me in a way that makes sense to me. It's some kind of holdover from back when CBS Sports and Odyssey merged, and I still don't get it. They're not advertising anything. I don't get it. So, but it's a holdover from the merger long ago.
Long ago, yes. It's been grandfathered in, I suppose. D'Amico Ryans, what is the one thing that you need your team to do better? If you could pick one thing, what would it be? What does this team need to do better in order to beat the Colts and have a good season as well?
Yeah, the key is consistency, and it's always important. The first game is going to be about tackling. Right? You have to tackle as a team, right? Talk about our defense last year. It's too many missed tackles. So for us to improve in run game and also the passing game, we have to be a better tackling team, and that takes just more hats to the ball, more guys securing and wrapping up.
Look, tackling, it's fascinating to me. I think it's consistently, as much as people grouse and complain about how people don't tackle like they used to, and which is true, I think there are a lot of people that kind of throw their arms up and want to say, well, you can't practice it like you used to, so why bother? There's a lot of coaches that frankly succumb to that attitude, and it's completely false and wrong. Some of the best tackling teams from back in the day were teams that also were ahead of the curve and not practicing with pads. The 49ers,
yes,
for instance.
One.
Bill Walsh wasn't practicing in pads ever back in the 1970s and had some defenses that had some very good tackling on it. There's things that you can do to improve tackling without going to the ground. And I saw a lot of evidence of that in the preseason. I got really excited about that. I told you with Jalen Petrie. Jalen Petrie being used in multiple different positions, awesome, great, okay. The fact that he was using really good and sound tackling technique when we did see him in the preseason, that was encouraging to me because Jalen's been a very bad tackler. He racks him up, but in terms of tackle rate, he's like a home run hitter who hits 198. You know, had a lot of impressive tackles, but he had a lot of whiffs
too. A good one. Yep.
So, I was very encouraged by that. I actually went back and I was watching the Anthony Ridge. I was watching a little bit of Henry Toa-Toa, based on the fact that Henry Toa-Toa did not have a good rep on that first Anthony Richardson run last year.
Oh, he was in there for that, huh?
Yeah. So I watched Henry Toa-Toa, who didn't get a lot of play time in the preseason games. But there was one play. It was actually the play that the Giants converted the fourth and short. Toa Toa made the tackle. They got the first down, but he came in and he had really good form. If he'd had one extra guy in on the tackle with him, I think they could have stuffed it. So it wasn't like a picture-perfect highlight reel or anything. But you can see the fundamentals. And that is something that, you know, the Legion of Boom, one of the more underrated stats of that defense was that they were very, very good tacklers. So you take all these situations that might have been second and six or second and seven, or excuse me, second and five or second and four, because they were good and sound tacklers. Okay, it's second and seven all of a sudden. And the Seahawks were a team that they were one of the first teams to bring in like rugby consultants, guys to teach rugby tackling and all that. I think that that's one area that Texans can take a giant leap forward in this year is just by being good tacklers. They had way too many missed tackles last year.
They did, no doubt. No doubt about that. Kamar Lassiter, big topic. He's going to get his baptism this Sunday against the Colts, playing opposite Derek Stingley Jr. I would imagine he's going to see, Kamar Lassiter, that is going to see a lot of activity on Sunday against the Colts. Here's D'Amico Ryans on the rookie corner.
What stood out the most to me about Kamara is his consistency. Like, he shows up every day, whether it was rookie minicamp, OTAs. Like, Kamara, no matter who lined up across from him, like, I just love that he never wavered with whoever lined up across from him, and he accepted whatever challenge was thrown his way. A very smart player. He finishes the right way, right? And that's what it's all about in this league. Everybody's about the same talent-wise, but you have to make up in your mind how you're going to finish each play. And he finishes with the right mindset, which has allowed him, right, to continue to grow as a rookie and be consistent because of his mindset of how he finishes things.
We did a Deadpool earlier in the show on which NFL coach is fired first.
Yeah.
And when did I pick Brian Daboll?
You picked him. We each drafted four coaches with the goal being to get the one that gets fired first this season in our respective four. Daboll was your second pick behind Nick Sirianni.
I had to pry my finger off the button to pick him first because I want him to get fired just because of this petty reason alone. Look, if they were treating the preseason game, Giants versus the Texans, the way, like, if you had game planned for it and gone in, I would have hoped he would have tried to target the rookie cornerback. And instead, I felt almost like as a way for him to prove a point against Daniel Jones or something, they went after Derek Stingley.
Yeah.
So I'm like, come on, Brian, can you help me out a little bit?
Dude.
Can you put Kamari Lassiter in some tough positions? Can you please do this for me? Can you do what any other coach would do and what I think Shane Steichen is going to do? Test the rookie cornerback early and often in a game.
Yes.
It's one of the things I'm most excited about for this Colts game is I think that Shane Steichen's going to want to see exactly what we have in Kamari Lassiter, what the Texans have in Kamari Lassiter. So that consistency that D'Amico talked about, we've seen it. But we haven't really seen Kamari Lassiter tested against actual NFL competition yet in a game setting. So it's going to be fun this week.
Yes.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
Yeah.
Colts have Adonai Mitchell, their old former teammate of Kamari Lassiter out there as a rookie wide receiver. It's going to be fun, man.
It will.
It's going to be a lot of fun.
It is. Yeah, no doubt. No doubt about that. Here is, and I think on the offensive side of the ball, it's going to be fun too. We're going to get our first look at what does this offense look like over the course of a game? You know, like what does it look like for 65 or 70 plays, not just two series in the preseason? Here's D'Amico Ryans talking about what I think is the most exciting part about all this, Stephon Diggs and his leadership.
Yeah, really excited about adding Stephon to our team. I mean, you talk about his influence. It's not just his influence on the receivers. It's just his influence on our entire team. Like, his competitive spirit, what he brings each and every day, like, it lights the fire in our entire team. So I'm very pleased with what he's done, the energy that he brings, and I'm excited to see him go do it in a regular season. But he's been a leader for us since the day he stepped on the field, and I'm very excited to see him continue to grow and continue to see him build, even better chemistry with his teammates.
We should mention here, people may not have seen this yet, the Texans named their captains yesterday, and Stephon Diggs is one of them. They named their seven captains. three on offense, three on defense, and then John Weeks, special team or long snapper. But the captains are C.J. Stroud, Laremy Tunsil, Stephon Diggs, and then defensively, Will Anderson Jr., Azeez Al-Shaair, and Jimmy Ward. You know what I thought was most interesting? We'll talk about Diggs in a second here, Seth, but as long as we're on the captain thing, Jalen Petrie, captain last year, not yeah. captain this year.
Right, and the and this is voted on by the players.
Right.
The one little weird bit of symmetry there is that now Will Anderson is the second-year player who's named a captain by vote of his teammates. And he's in a room where they have a lot. You know, they've got Danielle Hunter. They've got Jerry Hughes. They've got Danico Autry. They've brought in all of these older guys to kind of be tutors to the younger guy. But it doesn't feel – it feels appropriate that Will Anderson
totally.
Is a captain.
Yeah.
The amount of energy and everything else. I mean, honestly, the way Will Anderson talks about – showing respect and care to everybody in the organization. Yeah. He says a lot of things that young players don't typically say
yeah.
about like just the composition of the team mattering so much that it makes a lot of sense. And I don't worry that somehow that Will Anderson being named a captain is premature. Whereas we wondered and worried a little bit about it with Jalen Petrie last year, just because Petrie had done a lot of flashy things as a rookie, but on a bad football team,
yeah.
and it wasn't quite the same.
Will was a captain. They added him as a captain last year. They named four captains at the beginning of the year and then added three more like 2 weeks into the season, and Will was one of them. So he was actually named a captain at some point during the season last year.
Who was it? Oh, it was when Cooks was stripped of his captaincy.
Yes,
a couple
appropriately
years ago, remember?
So. Yeah, he deserved to get it straight. He wasn't showing up for work.
I love the thought of, like, I just wish there was some version of a commanding officer tearing the badge off of a epaulette,
yes.
you know, or whatever.
Brandon Cooks.
Hand over your captain's badge.
Hey, man. Ultimately, we owe a debt of gratitude to Brandon Cooks, who had, I think, like 140 yards receiving in the game that they beat the Colts to secure the second overall pick, not the first overall pick. He converted one of those fourth downs. C.J. Stroud is probably not a Houston Texan, or maybe, possibly, not a Houston Texan.
The other team, too, this was reminded of, I was reminded of this yesterday. You know, a lot of people, you know, we want to thank the Colts for losing to the Texans, not making an easy interception at the end of the game. Because ultimately, whether or not the Texans, you know, if they had the number one pick, would they have taken C.J. Stroud over Bryce Young? Who knows? But ultimately, the way it worked out was they didn't even have a choice in the matter.
Right.
They were going to take C.J. Stroud because that's where they were. But let's also remember that the Colts, a team that has not won their opening game in the last 10 years, they are 0-9-1 in that scenario. Mm. The tie with the Texans 2 years ago, it also guaranteed that the Texans would be number two. Because if the Texans had finished with three wins, the tiebreaker would have been that the Texans would have gotten the number one overall pick over the Bears. Because the Bears had a weaker strength of schedule,
yeah,
I think.
Yeah, yeah, yeah.
So, again, it was the decision between Bryce Young and C.J. Stroud was completely taken out of the Texans' hand, basically by the Colts, both
the
beginning
Colts
and the
games.
End of the season. Yeah.
Forgot about
so
that
thank
tie.
You, Indianapolis Colts.
I forgot about the tie in week one.
The tie, that's where Lovie Smith, that's where, you know what? The Lovie giveth. Lovie secured C.J. Stroud in both the opening semi-win of the season and in the victory at the end. If he had gone for it on fourth down and the Texans lost that game, then all of a sudden things get thrown into disarray a little bit.
And I got to go back and look, and if they had won the game, they might not have been two. They might have been three or four and not been in position to get
right,
C.J.,
yeah.
you know, to even get one of them. Anthony Richardson might be our quarterback. You know, if they're picking third or fourth, who knows? That's wild, man. Just like it is that type of butterfly effect stuff to me is fascinating. Like if the ball is an inch to the left or an inch to the right going through Rashawn McCloud's hands on that missed safety, like it's the world changes, you know, like possibly, you know.
It's still playing out too with the Bears. If Caleb Williams doesn't work out, I mean, Ryan, what's his face?
Poles.
The GM.
Poles.
Ryan Poles, who the national media just is in head over heels in love with as a GM, he becomes the guy that passed up an easy opportunity to draft C.J. Stroud.
Yeah.
That's how brilliant he was.
Yep.
You know, if Caleb Williams doesn't work out.
If he doesn't work out, for sure. All right, last one here from D'Amico. I like this one. This is about Joe Mixon. What do you expect from Joe Mixon?
Yeah, Joe will be Joe. He'll be doing what he's done his entire career. I don't think you'll see anything different, right? He's strong, physical back. He's gonna get yards, right? And so I'm excited about seeing Joe run the ball, you know, behind our offensive line.
And we got to point out, like, a lot of the – sometimes, Seth, with these frontline guys, you and I are able, and other media members are able to say, well, we know he only played two series in the preseason, but – this is what I can tell you Diggs has been doing out at practice every day, or Tank Dell, or Nico, or guys on the offensive line, whatever it is. We've seen practically the same amount of Joe Mixon as y'all have. You know, like, he spent most of training camp. Now, he spent most of training camp working out off to the side. He looks fine. He looks fine physically. Yeah. When he has gotten in there and done some 11-on-11 stuff in practice, he looks very explosive. He looks like he's ready to go for the season. But we haven't seen – he hadn't played in any of these padded games, you know. And I'm trying to remember if he participated full bore in the practice against the Rams. Even that was just padded, but it was thud. It wasn't bringing guys to the ground. We've not seen Joe Mixon participate in an activity where you're allowed to take him to the ground yet.
The one thing – and I hopefully I don't get too football nerdy about this. The one thing that I'm excited about with Joe Mixon is if you look at the teams that ran the most RPOs, run-pass options last year in the league – the Cincinnati Bengals were way up there. They were in the top five, I believe. The Texans were in the bottom five. The Texans are much more old school. Just you're going to hand the ball off to the running back. He's going to hit the hole at full speed at a direct angle, and then there you have it. Or on the outside zone runs, same thing. We're running this play, and we're going to get after it. And I think that suits Joe Mixon a lot better. The stuff where on RPOs there's a lot more uncertainty. It's not as downhill. I don't think that suits Joe Mixon as well. So I do think you see a resurgent Joe Mixon, even though he's 1 year older, just by being in a scheme that's better for him.
Yeah.
So I'm very optimistic about Joe Mixon at this point.
Gonna be good, man. Gonna be good. Noon kickoff on Sunday. Noon kickoff on Sunday here on Sports Radio 610. Texans Countdown starts at 9 a.m. with me and Seth, and then Clint and I have you after for Texans postgame. So week one is here. Starts tomorrow, actually. One more sleep until we get football tomorrow. Ravens
one
and
more
Chiefs.
Sleep.
One more sleep.
If you sleep, if you choose to sleep.
You choose to.
Maybe you're too excited about it.
I am. I'm nervous I won't be able to sleep tonight because of football. And we get to scout to future Texan opponents. They play the Ravens and the Chiefs in December this year. That'll be fun.
Did I ever tell you the story? I'll tell you this in 20 seconds, Sean. I won't screw up our clock. I thought Randall McDaniel, the Hall of Fame guard for the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, his routine the night before a game was to sit up all night long watching TV and drinking coffee. He was the opposite of Kikuchi. For whatever reason, he would go in sleep deprived to every regular season and I'm guessing playoff game he ever played to an extreme degree and have a Hall of Fame career. I wouldn't advise anybody else try that, but for whatever reason, it worked for him.
Has he ever answered?
If you do try it, give me the results.
Yeah. Well, if he has he, I would guess, this is what I would guess the answer would be. I'm curious. I'm sure somewhere along the way he said why he did that, but I'm guessing just. I think the average person sleep deprived is angrier. So maybe that made him angrier for the game, I'm guessing, right?
And then I'll get super too nerdy again. I do wonder if in certain instances it kind of helps you tap into a different level of brainwave.
Oh, okay. Yeah.
There's as you're entering sleep, your brainwaves change a little bit and it opens you up to a kind of a different level of function. Like Thomas Edison used to basically like use naps as a way to tap into a different part of his brain.
That makes sense.
Like he would come up with ideas like just as he was falling asleep and wake himself up. I wonder if there's something to that. But again, this is dicey territory. I would I'd be very careful about experimenting with it.
Makes sense
16 for 16 weeks a year.
Right? Yeah. Like it makes sense if you're trying to invent the light bulb. It makes less sense if you have a couple 300-pound guys trying to beat you into the dirt.
Randall McDaniel, he had like a really weird stance, kind of like Bagwell. It didn't make any sense for anybody except for Randall McDaniel.
Yeah.
I don't know. I feel like 99.9% of people who would try both his stance and his sleep schedule would fail miserably, but for him it worked.
Yeah, it worked. All right, Payne and Pendergast, power ranking, the power rankings. We do it every week during the season. They are here. the preseason power rankings of the five outlets that we hold near and dear on this show. We will have them for you. What are they thinking of the Texans nationally right now? That's next.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get a $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be, to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Recovery from addiction can take many forms, and quite often, it's a team effort. For those in recovery, having support often leads to a better outcome. And for those supporting people in recovery, they celebrate every milestone. Here's to family, friends, loved ones, healthcare providers, and community groups who are essential to helping people find their path to recovery. If you or someone you know is experiencing addiction, visit cdc.gov/stopoverdose to learn more about the various treatment options available.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in-store or at mybobs.com to play now.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
All right, we should mention, if you haven't heard, the Texans gave an extension to Davis Mills today. 1 year, $5 million for next season, for 2025. So Davis Mills will be the backup quarterback for this football team for the next couple of years at least. And we'll break that down for you. We'll talk about it with the guys when they come in for the toss. Reggie Atitula. And John Lopez. John Lopez, who has to pay off on his debt today to me with the Notre Dame victory over Texas A&M. You will be watching Lopez on YouTube and Twitch doing the show with a gold Notre Dame-ish helmet on, and he will have to sing the fight song during the toss. Brutal, brutal bet for him. Sorry, John. So let's get to this. Power ranking, the power rankings heading into the season. This is so much more fun now that the Texans aren't 29th, 30th, 30th. 29th and 32nd in the five big power rankings. Instead, the worst they are among the five big power rankings out there heading into the season, the worst is ESPN.com, which has them 10th. Everybody else has them inside of the top 10. They are 10th in ESPN, and Seth, here's what they say. Texans had a busy offseason, added plenty of support for CJ Stroud, including Stephon Diggs and Joe Mixon. They are legitimate AFC South favorites. So ESPN.com still has Cleveland, Miami, Cincinnati, Baltimore, the Jets, and the Chiefs all ahead of the Texans in the AFC right now. I think that's six teams I counted.
Yeah, so. Yeah. That's look, I six teams? Okay.
Yeah, six AFC teams ahead of them.
AFC teams.
Yeah.
Right. I look, for one, the AFC is stacked.
Yeah.
The other part of it too is I think that I try to remove my homer filter as much as I can. I do think that without even calling it a sophomore slump or anything, I think that people are hesitant to just go ahead and crown CJ ahead of other quarterbacks who have done it consistently for a much longer period of time.
Yeah.
I think that's a big part of it. The Texans' schedule, and this is where if you're looking at power ranks, the schedule shouldn't matter. It's just a matter of, okay, well, this team, you know, with a power ranking, you're not predicting what their schedule is going to be at the end of the year, just how good is this team.
How good are they, yeah.
But I do think that some people are letting that seep into their ranking of it. They're thinking like, okay, well, I might like the Texans better than some of these teams, but they don't have as hard a schedule. Yeah. So, like, if you take both these teams and give them the same schedule, maybe the Texans are better than this other team, but the other team's got an easier schedule. So I basically fault their process in this. I don't think they're running a true power ranking.
Okay.
I think they're more doing the over-under than they are doing the actual power ranking.
Okay, well, that's ESPN. They've got them 10th. And that's the worst of the five. Fourth on the power ranking of the power rankings is SI.com, who has the Texans 9th on their power ranking. Here's what they say. Connor Orr is the writer, by the way, for SI.com. I feel like a broken record at this point, but I'll say it one more time. The Texans are going to compete for the division and, in my mind, just slightly edge out the Colts. I agree with that. However, we need to remind ourselves, just like we did in the Packers blurb, that QB progress is not linear. CJ is going to get the master's course now via OC Bobby Slowick, and he's going to have to elevate his game in a significant way.
Right, right, yeah. So, again, he's not saying that it's a slump necessarily, but you can't just project what was going on towards the end of the last season and say, oh, okay, this is how it's going to be. I think, and it is crazy. When people nationally discuss the Texans, they'll almost universally bring up how impressive they were versus the Browns, one of the best defenses in the league,
yeah. And
yet kind of just glide right on by the Ravens game,
yep,
where it was very apparent that the Texans were just not in the same caliber or class of team, the team that they put on the field that day. But I don't think that you would look at that game and say that C.J. Stroud was the problem, right. You know? So the big question is just exactly how much did the improvements in the offseason really help? Free agency is dicey in the NFL. The interior offensive line is still a big question mark for the Texans. And I think there's still a gap there in terms of the Texans having to prove on the field that they belong in the same caliber of conversation as teams like the Ravens, the Bills, the 2023 Bills,
yeah,
and the current Chiefs.
Yep.
So and it's not about C.J. Stroud. That's who ends up getting talked about, but it's really everything else around him. Like, okay, does a healthy Tank Dell, does the addition of Stephon Diggs, does Joe Mixon, do they make that much of a difference? And then, very critically, the interior offensive line.
Yes, health on the offensive line, specifically the interior, and them playing well, absolutely.
Mm-hmm.
Number three on the power ranking of the power rankings is CBSSports.com. Pete Prisco has the Texans 8th, and here's what he says. They had an outstanding offseason, adding players to go with C.J. Stroud and company. Now comes the tough part, dealing with being the hunted. Are you buying into the dealing with being the hunted part, Seth?
D'Amico the other day shot that down with great fury.
Yes.
Or as furious as D'Amico ever gets about anything. with great fury by basically calmly and casually saying he doesn't buy into the, hey, we're the hunted. Every week everybody's hunted. I do think that you can catch teams sleeping, not to the degree that you can in college. College, it's extreme. But in the NFL, it's a long season and you do catch teams sleeping every now and then. I do buy into that a little bit. I think that There's been a whole lot of however much extra film study teams have spent in the offseason. You know, do they spend an extra afternoon or two on the Texans where maybe last year they wouldn't have?
Yeah.
Then I think that's a real thing.
Yeah, I do too. All right, second on the power ranking of the power rankings is NFL.com. Eric Edholm has the Texans 7th. In his power ranking, says this: I've been gently warning people that Houston might not quite, in italics, be ready for prime time, even if it's hard not to love the direction of the franchise resetting in such a quick fashion. The 2023 season was an unquestioned success, ushering in the Stroud and Ryan's era in exceptional fashion and setting this team up for success. But I've also argued that we sort of guaranteed the Jags the same thing last offseason, and they fell from their 8-3 perch during last season to 9-8. The same could happen with the Texans, who faced one of the easier schedules last year, which included some bad losses, Carolina, the Jets, the Falcons, a year ago, and now have one of the tougher slates in 2024. I'm not saying Houston is suddenly a bad team. I am saying that going 9-8 and missing the playoffs is not out of the picture, which is 1,000% true.
Edholm put his cojones on the table a little bit more with one of the other decisions he made in this power rankings, was to put the Bills 8th. And I think that the Bills this year feel, Different in a lot of ways, but there's some similarities to, I think, the way that people were talking about the Jaguars last year. I didn't quite understand how excited people were about the Jaguars based on one late season surge and playoff performance. That I didn't feel like it was as much for real as everybody else did.
Yeah.
With the Bills, I feel like people are kind of just whistling past the graveyard in a lot of ways. And the fact that the Bills, they made all the discussion about the Stephon Diggs stuff without also acknowledging that, okay, he did lose a very good wide receiver, and the team, they didn't even tread water. They lost good free agents, mm-hmm. and couldn't really do anything to bring anybody in. And they didn't have a first-round draft pick. Like, there was a lot going on with the Bills that looks like a team that, man, they missed their window.
Yeah, yeah.
And that this is the Bills' own GM is trying to phrase this year as everything but a reset, well, basically saying this is a reset
yeah.
year. The GM himself, when I've heard him talk, sounds a lot like a guy that's saying, like, sometimes you got to take a step backwards to take two steps forward.
Yeah. Week five, man. We'll find out. The Texans will get to see what the Bills have for them, see what the test is like. All right, last one. Number one, power ranking of the power rankings. The Athletic, subsidiary of the New York Times. They have the Texans.
Aren't you so sophisticated,
NYTimes.com. I'm looking at it right there. Number four, they've got them fourth, the Texans. Only teams ahead of the Texans in this power rankings. Ravens at three, Lions at two, Chiefs at one. Chiefs are one in every power ranking. Preseason vibes is the category for the Athletic, and they say, too good? Question mark? The hype in Houston is so high, the Texans are entering a dangerous area where nothing short of a Super Bowl appearance will meet expectations, and it's not just media-driven. Stroud is already eighth in Mike Sando's quarterback tiers. BetMGM lists the Texans as the betting favorite in the AFC South. 8 in Super Bowl championship odds. Stephon Diggs returns to form. Maybe Houston can pay off all this promise. This is where somebody writing outside the market, I don't know necessarily, has his fingers on the pulse of this city. I don't think that the city is in, like, if they don't make it to the Super Bowl, this season's a failure. I think AFC, to me, it's the AFC title game. That's to me. Like, if they make it to the AFC title game and lose in a conventional fashion, not a they blew the game kind of fashion, I think even if they made it to the AFC title game and lost the way they lost to the Ravens last year, but it's in the AFC title game, I think the season will be viewed as a success by most people.
Yeah, I think so.
Yeah.
I think advance into the AFC title game,
right,
for one, for the franchise,
yeah,
would be a first.
Yeah.
And it would feel like they're still on the upswing.
Yes.
It still feels like they have enough young, good talent. I think the one team, and this is consistent with the offseason and with these power rankings here, Packers fans are getting more and more upset about the fact that they are the younger sibling to the Texans in all of these rankings. Almost every one of them, the Texans are one or two slots above the Packers, and they're saying, hey, Jordan Love had a really promising year last. Come on.
Yeah.
What the heck, man? And I get it. If I were a Packers fan, I'd probably be feeling that same way. I think if you take it away from the quarterbacks, don't even have a discussion about Jordan Love, who, by the way, like, C.J. Stroud had a very people will point out, like, hey, look, Jordan Love was statistically the same as C.J. Stroud in a lot of ways, which he wasn't because he didn't do it as consistently. But also, right, he's a guy who's been in the NFL for a few years already.
That's right.
Like, you shouldn't treat him like he's a rookie entering the NFL. But then also, the Packers perennially and consistently have been let down by their defense, and they didn't have a good defense last year.
Yeah.
The Texans made improvements on defense and then went out in the offseason and did some impressive things to make it better still. So I think that there's very valid reasons that the Texans are a notch or two above the Packers in all of these
things. Again, you know, like, they play so many of these teams. We'll find out in week 7. The Texans go up to Green Bay. Like, that's the thing. Like, in these power rankings, the Texans are in a strata right now where they play literally like 6 or 7 of the teams that are right around them in these things. So we'll find out in Green Bay in week 7. All right. We'll circle back to Nick Caserio here in the next segment. Seth had a couple really interesting questions for him towards the end of the interview. When did you know C.J. Stroud was that dude? And have you and D'Amico, the communication, have you guys had any impasses at any point along the way here where you've really vehemently disagreed on anything? I thought there were some interesting nuggets in these answers here, and we'll get to that coming up next.
Sports Radio 610 presents Payne and Pendergast.
Hi, Payne and Pendergast with you. This is a good question from Seth yesterday to Nick Caserio. What was the moment, was there a moment this past season when you kind of knew CJ was that dude?
Saw glimpses in that first Ravens game where there's some plays, like we hit a couple routes, CJ made a couple throws where it was like, okay, yeah, that looks pretty good. Let's see if we can build on that. And it's funny when you go back and look at those two games. I mean, they were almost like a carbon copy of each other. Competitive in the first half, gave ourselves a chance. In the second half, it kind of got away from us. So, those are some of the things. All right, can we learn from that? But then as we kind of grew and evolved a little bit early in the year, and then I'd say week four against the Steelers, that was probably one of our better games as an overall team. And when you look at it, was like, all right, well, looks like, we got a shot to at least be competitive. Offensively, did some things, and CJ played well and made some throws. I mean, the bottom line is, look, CJ's a very skilled player. He's a very good thrower of the football. He's a good football player. We're glad he's our quarterback, and we're going to face some challenges. It's not going to be perfect. He's going to have to endure some things. We're going to endure some things. How do we deal with them? Can we just continue to push forward? Can we handle the adversity when it strikes? Because it's going to happen. I mean, that's the way this league is designed. No team, again, very few teams, there's just everybody, everything is going to be perfect.
Yeah, the Pittsburgh game seems to be the consensus among everybody when they get asked that, including CJ himself, because I asked him that question when I did that deal with him back in March. The Pittsburgh game seems to be the one where they were like, okay, we got something here.
And Pittsburgh kind of threw the kitchen sink at him and did a lot of things that might flummox a rookie quarterback.
Yes.
And he just kind of, he answered the test. I thought there were some things, and this is how it was with CJ. There are certain obstacles that you're looking for rookie quarterbacks, or I'll say quarterbacks in their first 3 years, to figure out and overcome. Deshaun Watson, for a while, it was the corner blitz or the safety blitz. Stuff coming off the edge really threw him up. Some of the things that the Colts were able to do against him in coverage to fool him, it took Deshaun till through his second year. In his second year, he figured a lot of that stuff out. He didn't get to play a full rookie season. But CJ just seemed to be presented with these challenges and then figure it out within a couple weeks, including early on. Took 11 sacks in the first six games. And it wasn't like the offensive line play improved so dramatically, but then he didn't get sacked for several games in a row after that.
Austin Deculus started the Pittsburgh game at left tackle against Alex Highsmith.
There were a lot of really interesting things to watch. And the way Nick talks about it, I do find it fascinating with Nick, because on a football team, the hardest thing to do is you got to turn yourself into an observer. As much as you're trying to get better each and every week and you have a positive attitude about things, you got to be realistic and not delude yourself into things. So like Nick's been in the business for over 20 years, and he's seen enough that, man, some guys have promising starts and then peter out or they hit a wall. Some guys way surpass whatever your draft evaluation was of them. And you just can't be married to your own evaluation. And so you always have to just try to look at things as objectively as possible. And I could probably see Nick being impressed but not overly excited about each step along the way where CJ did this stuff. But also, as the season goes on, you realize, all right, yeah, this is going pretty damn well.
It's time for me to be impressed.
Yeah, exactly.
The other question that you asked him towards the end of the interview, this is a good one. Obviously, D'Amico and Nick work very well together. Have there been any points where you guys have had difficult disagreements with each other?
I say any good relationship is based on respect. I have a massive amount of respect and appreciation for who D'Amico is. Forget about as a coach, which is massive, but as a person. And like anything, any good organizations, any good functioning entities, it's all about communication. It's not about confrontation. It's not about who's right or who's wrong. Are we making the right decision for the collective whole? And hopefully, he would say the same thing, but we're very respectful of each other's position and opinion, and we talk through it. It's not we're talking at one another. We're talking with one another.
Oh, yeah. I have no doubt that you conduct yourselves cordially, but I'm curious, have you had that moment where you had to be like, that's right, I got to be respectful here, but I think he's wrong.
I don't think that's happened yet, or if it has, I probably can count counted on maybe one hand and maybe one or two fingers. Yeah. But no, we always have very constructive conversations. And I've said this before, like my job is to support him in any way, shape or form, however I can do it. And just hopefully we can put the organization in a position in the best light possible. So, I mean, all of us, I mean, the city of Houston, you know, I'm sure I'd speak for them. Like, we're glad he's our head coach and wouldn't want anybody else leading his football team.
Sounds to me like there were six or seven times.
He said count on one hand.
Plus
right?
one or Didn't two he? Fingers. Sounds awfully specific.
I don't think we'll get a specific answer until someday those two sit down and maybe have like an interview at the same time.
Round
and
table,
they kind of just talk. The other part, too, is it's tough. In some situation like that, maybe they've had disagreements, but it's going to be over a certain player. And there's no way that D'Amico or Caserio is going to want to basically say, like, I don't think Nick would have a problem saying, oh, I was wrong and D'Amico was right. But then you're kind of insulting whichever player you're talking about. That Brandon Cooks or so. Well, it wouldn't have been Brandon Cooks, but somebody like that.
This deserves, what just popped into my head, deserves more time than we have right now. We got to play that again tomorrow. Because keep in mind, the head coach that was part of trying to bring Nick Caserio here the first time was Bill O'Brien, who is the polar opposite of D'Amico Ryans. Like, how would that have worked? What would that have looked like? There would have probably been some confrontation along the way as opposed to conversing, not confronting. So, but I want to get Larry in here. Larry was the auctioneer at our fantasy draft last night. Larry and Stafford was a five-star auctioneer, especially considering, like C.J. Stroud last season, he was a rookie at doing it. What's up, Larry?
Hey, what's going on, son? Look, before I get on the Texas, man, I just want to say again to you, man, thanks for letting me get a peek behind the window, man. I realize that being an auctioneer was scary, man, but sometimes you got to step outside of your comfort zone and go have some fun with the boys. And what really helped, man, was that Yeti full of, that Whataburger Yeti full of whatever was in it. I'm not going to talk about what was in it, but we just go talk about that Yeti was filled twice. Yeah. And so it was a good time to have last night. And being in the room with you and LZ and Ass Man and Eddie and the Monsters and whoever else, Chad and everybody, it was just fun seeing dudes, man, that was just having some positive energy, man, and having fun with the draft, man. And I liked how y'all did that draft because I had never seen it done that way before. So that was a fun time, man, and I really appreciate you letting me get in, man. So about them Texans real quick. You know, that Pittsburgh game is interesting, man, because you got to remember – Highsmith and T.J. Watt was going up against an offensive line that had a lot of parts missing. And C.J. was controlling that game from the word go, man. And when we was in that stadium just watching C.J. do work against Minkah Fitzpatrick and Steelers, you just figured it was going to be a tough game. And he made that game look like it was about as easy as sleeping on the next side of the bed with your wife, man. And the thing about with C.J., he always has an opportunity to learn from something that he doesn't do right or whatever. And so he just has that calmness to him. And that's why I don't really think there's going to be a sophomore slump or whatever. And the fact that they added pieces to it instead of taking pieces away, that's going to make the game a lot easier for CJ, I think. But the key to everything is what kind of scheming is Bobby Slowick going to be able to do with all this talent, man? Because now that the season is upon us and I look at this schedule, I know people go crazy when you say 13-4 and 12-5, but this team have enough talent to get to the AFC Championship game and possibly allow me and the Mafia to head to New Orleans and do some real partying. So I'm just going to ride with my squad, man. I'm glad it's football season. And, son, anytime you want to smoke one, man, just let me know and I'll holler.
Sounds good, Larry. Appreciate that. He's talking about cigars, people. He's not talking about crack or weed or anything like that. All right? It was cigar smoke.
She went straight to crack.
I just know what's coming on the text page.
It's funny, though. I wasn't even in my mind to make it. I was curious. I knew he meant a cigar, but I was wondering, like, I wonder if people thought maybe smoking a joint or something.
Do people do recreational crack?
I don't know. I don't. So I don't begrudge anybody out there.
All right. All right.
I'm not a crackhead. I just dabble.
No, nor is dabble.
You'd be surprised. There are high-functioning crackheads.
Yeah.
That is something
I
that
would
happens.
Be surprised.
Shocked.
Based on my drive home every day, I would be very, very surprised.
That's great. So John Lopez, Reggie Atatula are here. They're in the loop. And it is time. It is time.
Pay your debts.
To pay your debts. The Lannisters and the Lopezes always pay their debts.
Yes.
So for those who don't know, John Lopez, proud alum of Texas A&M University, myself, proud alum of the small parochial school in South Bend,
yes,
Indiana.
Sure.
Our small parochial school.
Former student, by the way. Seth knows that.
Yes.
Yes, yes, yes.
So we were able to overcome all the odds, being a 3-point underdog.
Oh, and Lord.
What though the odds
you're gonna
be greater
say the
small.
Irish. You're going to say the luck
what
of the Irish.
Though the odds be great or small. I don't want to give
little
away.
Little leprechaun.
I don't want to give away any more lyrics because the time has come because my school beat your school.
Yes.
You made this bet. This was your bet.
It was like from a listener, yes.
Yeah, okay. It's from a listener. So shortly, you're going to put on the Notre Dame football helmet at 10 o'clock.
Such as it is.
Yes. Yeah, let's take a look. Show it to the show it to me.
Yeah.
Oh, okay. That suffices. That's like a Notre Dame helmet from like back in the 70s.
This is a Rudy.
Swapping paint was going on.
Yeah.
There's a lot of CTE in that helmet right
this
there.
This is my helmet. This is
as you mean Mark, just leftover residual, the stuff that didn't seep into the brain?
Yes. As Mark Vandermeer pointed out on Twitter, boy, that explains a lot.
Yes. Right.
Seth, I think I told you this yesterday. I had a coach, my defensive coordinator. I was an end, and he said, always lead with your hairline. Always.
Yeah.
Always
yeah.
lead with your That's hairline.
And then after practice, you devoured salt tablets.
Yes. Yes.
Yeah.
Absolutely.
Yeah. Even after the NCAA started making it a rule that you get these instructions on how not to hit, I can remember coaches – basically, like almost like throwing a pamphlet at us, and you're like, yeah, whatever.
All right, so you're going to wear that helmet during the show. It's starting at 10.
Yes, I started wondering about headphones, but we'll figure that out.
Okay. Oh, yeah, forget you don't have the in ear joints. That, yeah.
At least the first hour. Yeah. I don't think we're playing. Oh, we are playing audio in the first segment.
John, have you tried that on yet?
Okay, I did last night. First time since 1979 when I walked off the field.
Well, there's one thing. Did it fit? Because they shrink over time.
They do. I took the ear pads out.
Oh, okay.
I had to take the ear pads out.
Okay.
But it fits now. It fits my head. The ear pads were a no-go.
So you're.
I'm surprised that even made the difference. Of course, you were probably on a lot of Diana Ball back in the day.
Still is. Look at the guy. I know. He's an Adonis.
Yeah. But they gave me this helmet after the last game.
Okay.
So I kept it.
And you said someday, 40 years from now, I'm going to have to put this on my head with a wager. All right, so the other part of the wager we need to do right now. You are going to sing the Notre Dame fight song.
I am.
Which you have said you know by heart.
Wait, no. You got to have your headphones on because you got to hear the music.
Yeah, well, yeah, I've got music.
Well, how am I going to do that with the helmet?
Just hold it up to the
helmet. The helmet will get
you,
on the start
of
the
show. You can do the helmet at 10 o'clock. You can just.
Oh, okay.
Yeah,
I
want to
do
it. You want to do it with the helmet? Okay.
Look at him.
Okay, gotcha. Do you want music underneath this or no?
Absolutely.
Okay.
You are ready to
turn your mics
like a 6-2 stack monster.
Yeah. Turn our mics. Okay, so. Ben, I'm going to count you with my fingers. 1, 2, and on three, hit the music, okay? And John, on three, you start singing. Ready? Okay.
Cheer, cheer for old Notre Dame. Wake up the echoes cheering her name. Send a volley cheer on high. Shake down the thunder from the sky. Though may the odds be great or small, old Notre Dame will win overall. And her sons and daughters, what is it? No. While her sons and daughters, while her loyal sons and daughters march on to victory.
I don't know that they've politically correcticized the song and put the daughters in there. I think it's, I've always known it to be, while her loyal sons are marching victory.
Even Sister Ambrose taught me, while her loyal
she
sons
was
and
changing
daughters.
The lyrics to the song.
Well, she was a woman.
Yeah.
Was she now?
Yeah, that is true.
Right. Let me a little story about, I was thinking about Sister Ambrose today, because the only reason I know the lyrics by heart is because of her. She made us sing it every Friday, all year long.
All year long?
All year long. She was really, really old back then.
Yeah.
I'll tell you how old. Not her grandfather. Her father fought in the Civil War.
Wow. Okay. Jeez. Did she go to St. Mary's?
Yes.
Okay. That's the girls' school right across the street. Yeah. 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 She was a SMIC chick. That's what we had St. Mary's College. That's what we called them. We called them SMIC chicks.
I recognize that that's all on the up and up, but that sounds like it's a problem.
A problem.
the idea of saying a smick chick. I don't know what it just sounds wrong.
Yeah. Oh, maybe. I mean, I don't think it is. It's the first time I've said it in like 35 years. So yeah. Who knows?
It just hit my ear wrong.
Somewhere along
I'm
the way.
I'm disappointed. I stumbled on While Her Loyal Sons and Daughters March On to Victory.
Okay,
but I knew most of it.
Yeah, no, you did good. You did good. Yeah. The only other part was you said though may the odds. It's what though the odds. So that's a well actually.
Okay. Right. Yeah, yeah,
that's you did great.
Thank you.
You did phenomenal. You look ridiculous.
That's right. Yeah, I mean, come on, snap up the chin strap. Look like you're ready to play ball.
Now that, Seth, I don't know if I can snap up.
Oh, yeah.
All right.
We're missing some snaps, aren't we?
Oh, we're missing some.
If you're, you know what, John, as somebody that you grew up Catholic and what have you, before you became an Aggie, were you ever,
oh, John can't hear you at all right now, Seth. This is incredible.
Okay, never mind. Headphones on. Yeah.
Let's see if we can figure this out. We're gonna
say that again, Seth.
No, that's all right. I was just curious about, like, because you're a young Catholic. You're a young Catholic kid. You know, was there ever a time where you dabbled in the Notre Dame fandom?
I used to like Lindsey Nelson on Saturday mornings. The highlights?
Yeah, the highlights. That's what a lot of people say.
And it's a touchdown.
Yeah, yeah. They were quite the national team. They still are.
Yeah.
This
chin strap's got to go.
Okay. Well, you just got to keep the helmet on is all. All right, so if you want to see how ridiculous John
looks,
get onto the YouTube and the Twitch, and let's blow this thing up. All right, we're over. We got to let you guys start your show because there's a lot of stuff going on. Seth, antibodies to you, Mike.
Antibodies, and Brandy just texted me. She says John has a pleasant voice. So good job.
Thank you.
All right.
Thank you. You ought to hear me singing mariachis.
Yeah, I believe I have a
panty dropper.
All right.
Well, hold on a second.
The Marvin Gaye of mariachis.
This is,
Marvin Gaye is
that's the wife we're talking about.
Good nickname.
I didn't say hers.
Okay. All right, we are done. We're out of time.
My dad works in B2B marketing. He came by my school for career day and said he was a big ROAS man. Then he told everyone how much he loved calculating his return on ad spend. My friends still laugh at me to this day.
Not everyone gets B2B, but with LinkedIn, you'll be able to reach people who do. Get $100 credit on your next ad campaign. Go to linkedin.com/results to claim your credit. That's linkedin.com/results. Terms and conditions apply. LinkedIn, the place to be.
Hey, football fans, you want the real deal? The raw, unfiltered truth about everything going down in the NFL? Join Mark Schlereth, 3-time Super Bowl champ, on the Stinkin' Truth podcast. He's breaking it all down for you. No punches pulled. From the game-changing moments that won or lost a game to the player evaluations, this is analysis you won't hear anywhere else. Mark's got you covered. So strap in and get ready for the ride, because this isn't your average football podcast. Follow the Stinkin' Truth in the free Odyssey app or wherever you get your podcasts.
Trying to figure out what to eat for dinner yet again? With Knorr sides and bouillon as your not-so-secret ingredient, you can skip the drive-thru and do dinner at home. Knorr taste combos provide a menu of delicious, affordable, and well-balanced meals that you can prepare in 30 minutes or less. Visit Knorr.com to get quick and easy recipe ideas for your home-cooked weeknight dinners. It's not fast food, but it's so good.
In life and recovery, every day is a little different. Embrace the good days, the not so good days, and the challenges, and acknowledge how you overcame them. Find the path to recovery that works for you. Learn more at cdc.gov/stopoverdose.
From the mind of a 2-foot-tall talking spokes puppet comes this year's biggest challenge. It's time for Bob's Dare to Compare. The hottest game show on TV that asks, what happens when you compare Bob's to the competition? You get style. You get quality. You get beeps and boops and dings and whomps. And thousands of dollars in savings. Everyone's a winner when you dare to compare with Bob's Discount Furniture. Shop in store or at mybobs.com to play now.